They say you can know a man by his enemies, Dresden. He smiled, and laughter lurked beneath his next words, never quite surfacing. You defy beings that should cow you into silence. You resist forces that are inevitable, for no more reason than that you believe they should be resisted. You bow your head to neither demons nor angels, and you put yourself in harm's way to defend those who cannot defend themselves. He nodded slowly. I think I like you. I arched an eyebrow and studied him for a moment. Then help me. Vatterung pursed his lips in thought. In that, you may be disappointed. I am not what I was. My children are scattered around the world. Most of them have forgotten our purpose. Once the Jotuns retreated, he shook his head. What you must understand is that you face beings such as I in this battle. I frowned.
You mean gods?
Mostly retired gods, at any rate, Vatterung said. Once, entire civilizations bowed to them. Now they are venerated by only a handful, the power of their blood spread out among thousands of offspring. But in the Lords of Outer Night, even the remnants of that power are more than you can face as you are. I've heard that one before, I said. Vatterung just looked at me. Then he said, let me help you understand. And a force like 100 anvils smashed me out of the chair and onto the floor. I found myself on my back, gasping like a landed fish. I struggled to move, to push myself up, but I couldn't do so much as lift my arms from the ground. I brought my will into focus, with the idea of using it to deflect some of that force from me, and suddenly, sharply felt my will directly in contention with another. The power that held me down was not earth magic, as I had assumed it to be. It was the simple, raw, brute application of the will of Donner Vatterung, Thunder's father, the father and king of the Aesir. Father Odin's will held me pinned to the floor, and I could no more escape it or force it away than could an insect stop a shoe from descending. In the instant that realization came to me, the force vanished, evaporating as if it had never been. I lay on the floor, gasping. It is within my capabilities to kill you, young wizard, Vatterung said quietly. I could wish you dead, especially here, at the center of my power on Midgard. He got up, came around the desk, and offered me his hand. I took it. He pulled me to my feet, steady as a rock. You will be at the center of their power. There will be a dozen of them, each nearly as strong as I am. He put a hand on my shoulder briefly. You are bold, clever, and from time to time lucky. All of those are excellent qualities to have in battles like yours. But against power such as this, you cannot prevail as you are. Even if you are able to challenge the Red King at Chichen Itza, you will be crushed down as you were a moment ago. You'll be able to do nothing but watch as your daughter dies. He stared at me in silence for a time. Then the door to his office opened and one of the receptionists leaned in.
Sir, she said, you have a lunch appointment in 5 minutes.
Indeed, Vatterung said. Thank you, Em. She nodded and retreated again. Vatterung turned back to me as guard returned to the room, carrying a covered tray. She set it down on the big steel desk and stepped back unobtrusively. You've defied fate, Dresden, Vatterung said. You've stood up to foes much larger than you. For that, you have my respect. Do you think I could swap in the respect for, I don't know, half a dozen Valkyries, a receptionist, and a couple of platoons of dead heroes? Vatterung laughed again. He had a hearty laugh like Santa Claus must have had when he was young and playing football. I couldn't do without my receptionists, I'm afraid, he sobered. And those others would be less strong at the center of the Red King's power. He shook his head. Like it or not, this is a mortal matter. It must be settled by mortals. You're not going to help, I said quietly.
He went to a steel closet and opened the door, removing an overcoat. He slipped into it and then walked over to me again.
I've been in this game for a long, long time, boy. How do you know I haven't given you exactly what you need?
Vadarung took the lid off the covered tray, nodded to me pleasantly, and left.
I looked at the tray. A cup of tea steamed there, 3 empty paper packets of sugar beside it. The tea smelled like peppermint, a favorite.
Next to the cup of tea was a little plate with 2 cake donuts on it, both of them covered in thick white frosting and unmarred by sprinkles or any other edible decorations. I looked up in time to see Vadarung walk by, trailed by the pair of receptionists, and saw them all simply vanish, presumably into a way.
Well, Gard asked me, are you ready to go?
Just a minute, I said. I sat back down, and I drank the tea and ate the donuts, thoughtfully.